Hi, I'm Jason Schwimmer, and this is a podcast about my journey to meet seven male strangers who all have one thing in common with me. We all played the voice of DW, the little sister character on the popular kids show, Arthur. That's me, in an episode called DW Aims High. An episode where DW decides she wants to be the first person to travel to Mars. The episode aired in May 2006. Last week, I spoke with Lucas Mancini and Will Young, the hosts of the podcast Elwood City Limits. I also spoke with Robert Naylor, the fourth person who played the voice of DW on Arthur. If you're new, this podcast is about my journey to find the other actors who played the voice of DW, but I'm also doing that to learn from each of their experiences so I can find out how playing DW changed me. So, in a way, I'm also on a journey to find myself, since I was also the voice of DW.
It's really cool, and I don't know if it's because you've spoken with Oliver, but he reached out to me kind of out of the blue on Facebook saying, I wanted to thank you for being, you know, a good influence, or, okay, well, that's better than being a bad influence. No, but honestly, I was like super touched.
That's Bruce Dinsmore, the actor who plays three different characters on Arthur. He's the voice of Binky.
Come here, I'll pound ya.
Arthur's father, David Reed.
Arthur? Arthur.
And Muffy's butler, Bailey.
What about needlepoint, Miss Muffy?
He's been these characters for the entire run of the series.
Like, we all used to be in the same room. It used to be like a big family that would meet for a group read. That was a really special way for the show to begin. Those are the roots of how, even technically, we started. So I'm not surprised that it's endured, you know, with that kind of almost family fabric woven into it.
I wanted to speak to him to talk about what my journey with this podcast looks like to my TV dad. So I asked him if he'd heard of me and my mission.
I had? Yeah, and really, I wasn't sure until I listened this morning, and I'm just listening to you and Robert having this great kind of, you know, how you were both kind of learning to or learning to redefine yourself through the lens of DW. It got me reflecting on what it's been like having like the Arthur feather in my cap for 24, 25 years. It's really handy as an actor. Like, first of all, it's really handy as an actor to be able to tell someone something that they instantly recognize. Arthur has been so good for that. So yeah, to just kind of plug into that a little bit is, yeah, on hard days, it's good for the soul, you know, to know that you played a part in that.
I've mentioned that a lot of my time as DW feels like a blur, that when people ask me what it was like, I don't remember a lot of specific details or even all the episodes I was in. I asked Bruce about what he remembers from his time on the show.
Like you and Robert alluded to in the last episode, like, it's such a blur. It's such a weird little world, the world of recording. You bring your own world to studio, you know, I don't know, the dishwasher broke or you were almost late or you've got your own thing. Then you step into this other little world. Then 2 years later, it's out in the world and people react to it and someone will come to you and say, oh, wow, what were you thinking in that episode? And you're like, I honestly don't remember that episode. I was worried about the dishwasher and being 5 minutes, you know, it's like.
Also, unless you haven't been on the internet recently, you've probably heard that Arthur the show is coming to an end. Some sources have even given this podcast and I credit for breaking the news. So, as somebody that has played my TV father, are you mad at me for spilling the beans?
No, not at all. I mean, because I'm kind of in the same boat. I am not a social media genius or a guru by any stretch of the imagination. And I just tweeted something very personal to me 3 years ago. that is still kind of rumbling around out there. So I'm kind of guilty as charged as you are. So I'm staying away from keyboards, but I'm hoping you and I are safe here because, you know, it's more about how we made it and how we feel having been a part of it.
Well, that's a relief. So let's take a quick break. Here's a word from our sponsors. Finding DW is independently produced by me, Jason Schwimmer. If you want to support the show, the best way you can do that is by checking out my Patreon. Supporters like you help me spend more time doing what I love, creating this podcast for you to enjoy. Plus, when you support this podcast, you'll gain access to exclusive bonus podcast episodes that feature full-length interviews with each person who appears on my show. Head to patreon.com/findingdw. That's FINDINGDW. No punctuation. There's also a link in the episode notes. Thank you very much. And now, back to the show. Since I was so young when I was acting on the show, there's a lot I don't remember. I never really thought about the writers who wrote the scripts I performed in until I had the chance to talk to some of them for this podcast. One of the interesting parts about talking to Bruce is he got cast on the show when he was around the same age that I am now. I wanted to know what his relationship with the writers and producers was like when he got started on Arthur.
The early 90s in Montreal was a really great time for the industry. So you get really spoiled really quickly. Like, I mean, I remember we'd been doing the show for 5 or 6 years and somebody mentioned that Binky was a bulldog. And I was like, what? Bulldog? I had no idea Binky was a bulldog. Like, I was so glib, you know. It was a fun gig. I loved every minute of it, but it was one of many, you know, and I was working and stuff was happening. But it was only kind of later when Arthur kind of started having its own culture. Like, sounds crazy to say, but after a decade, you know, we kind of defined ourselves. Some of the humor was wacky. Some of the subject matter, you know, got challenging. And it was only then that I started to get jazzed about, you know, people like Greg Bailey and the behind the scenes people and Peter Hirsch, the writers, and take that kind of interest in the creation aspect of it.
Another thing we share is the excitement people feel when they find out about the Arthur characters we played. I ask Bruce if people ever ask him to do the voices of the characters he plays, just like they used to do for me.
Whenever I got asked that, I was always with my kids. So it would always be my kids' friends saying, so I did it. So happily, it's when you do the voice for someone who really is a fan of the show, who has no idea. I have kind of a classic story about that, which is when my son was at swim lessons. You know, I was at the pool and we're leaving and a bunch of the lifeguards, who at that time would have been 17, 18, and his lifeguard, who was this beautiful young woman, comes over, is like full of life. And so, yeah, she's like, you know, are you the voice? And I do the voice for her and she just melts in tears, just like falls to pieces. But it speaks to the power, like you're saying, of like, you know, yeah. And it brings them to tears in that moment when they recognize like, oh my God, this is the voice of a character that I've lived with, grown up with, right? It's a super cool, powerful thing.
Which got me thinking about how, as I've moved further along in this journey with my podcast, I've come to appreciate how good a role model DW is to young girls and women.
Totally. And 15 years ahead of the curve, right?
Yeah. My relationship to DW prior to doing this podcast was a little more muddled.
Have you discussed with any of the other actors the dynamic of, especially at the age you were, was there ever an issue with the fact that DW was a girl being played by a boy?
So yeah, definitely. Okay. I remember when I was cast, I was excited to be on the show in any capacity. And it wasn't until I started, you know, I was in elementary school and junior high age, I got, you know, definitely like teased and picked on for having a high-pitched voice and playing a girl on TV. And it feels like it's cool to see that now the guys that have played DW after me, it's like less and less of that has happened. Even though some of us got picked on, the next DW I talked to not only taught me to be proud of having played the role, but taught me how to fight back and stand up to those bullies. His name is Jake Beal. And when I looked him up on Facebook, I was surprised to see that we had some mutual friends. Even weirder, one of them was a close family friend. I called her and asked how she knew him. It turns out she's best friends with his older sister. I ask if she can get his number because he also played the voice of DW. She had no idea. She said of course she'd help. She sent me his number and I asked him if he'd want to talk to me. Sure enough, he agreed to come on the show. Here's what Jake sounded like as the voice of DW.
I don't care what he does. I just want that mouse gone.
And here's what he sounds like now.
My name is Jake Beal, and I was the fifth person to play DW. I played the role from season 16 to season 17, from 2012 to 2013.
I asked him if he got bullied for playing the voice of DW on Arthur.
100%. Like, I did hear the jokes. It definitely was a thing.
And did it bother him that he was getting picked on for playing the voice of a girl on TV?
Nah, to be honest, like, I have kind of adopted this philosophy in life where it's just like, if you want to think like poorly or like think like whatever about me, like I'm not going to change the person that I am because like a couple of these like girls are going to judge me now, or like a couple of these guys are going to be like, oh, like he's super weird, like whatever. Like,
yeah,
because at the end of the day, like I think a lot of it stems from playing DW, and I think like a lot of the time, like I'm sure you caught the flack for it, but like, oh, like you play a girl, like I don't know how many times, like it's part of my vocabulary at this point. DW has never been played by a girl. And I think like, honestly, after that, like I've just like kind of grown this like thick skin, and I've honestly, at the end of the day, like people can talk all they want, but like we made money for it. I'm gonna graduate college, and like I have I'm pretty set up. Like I'm in a very good situation comparatively to like these like kids who are like not. And like, you don't mean to like come off and like sound whatever, but like if they're gonna make this like personal and like try and take shots at you and things like that, what are you supposed to do? You know what I mean?
Jake is a lot more comfortable with having played DW than I am. But the thing is, he didn't feel as ready to play her voice right from the start. When he was a kid, he was encouraged to get into acting by his aunt, Joy Tanner, an actor who, at least I know, as having played the mother on the mid-2000s teen sitcom, Life with Derek. Then, among his early acting experiences, he landed
the Arthur audition. It's actually honestly like one of my most memorable auditions. I'm sitting in the waiting room in some audition studio downtown Toronto. I go in and I actually read for Arthur. I walk out of the booth and they're like, honestly, like, I don't think this is like whatever, this is gonna work. But then someone that's just like not sitting at like the desk, sitting on the couch in the back, chimes in and goes, like, have him read for DW. So I was just like, all right, like I'm gonna do it. And so I go back into the booth and I read for DW, and I kid you not, they walk me out of the audition room and announce to an entire room full of people that are auditioning, and they go, I'm sorry to say, but anyone here that's auditioning for DW, like we found the person who we're casting for DW, and just like no callback, no nothing, just like canceled everyone else's audition.
Was playing DW different than those other roles? Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, so I think the biggest thing about playing DW was just like, anytime you had the conversation with someone, especially because I was like child acting and stuff and like doing a lot of like young cartoon shows, a lot of people would be like, oh, like that's really cool, but like no one ever watched the shows that I was in, versus like now it's like, but like to this day, it's still the only thing that like people care about. Like I have friends at school that call me DW. Like,
was it something that affected your attitude about yourself in terms of self-confidence? Did it change sort of the way that you saw yourself?
Oh, 100%. I think it was like a good form of like validation. Like it kind of just like, as like, I think honestly, being in the show Arthur and like being in such like a big production and like such a popular show was the biggest thing, because a lot of the shows that I had done, like I said earlier, were like shows that no one watched, like none of my friends watched. But like being in this show that like literally no one doesn't know what the show Arthur is.
Yeah. So,
and so like I think that kind of inflated, like I like inflated my ego, inflated my self-confidence, like things like that.
I can relate. Except I also think that there's something different between Jake's relationship to the part than mine. He's not questioning who he is or how playing DW changed him. To Jake,
You're part of a special group of people. You're part of a show that like shaped people's childhoods. Like I don't know, like I assume like whoever is like after me is like all on social media and stuff. Like you're all over social media. Like when your friends like send you things, like don't shy away, like don't delete the comments, like embrace it. Like it's cool. Like,
yeah,
like what you did, like no one else got to do. So like don't hide in the shadows is kind of my piece of advice.
Like I want to embrace the level of confidence or your relationship you have with having played characters or sort of done this thing, like being proud of it, but not like, I don't get a sense from you that you're the kind of person who like brags about it necessarily, but you're proud of it when it comes up.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah. And I think that's like, I guess that would be my piece of advice too. Like that has served me well. Like obviously be yourself. Like if you want to like gloat around and bring it up first in conversation, all the power to you, like do it, like be yourself, be your own person. But to me, I have found it very, I think it has worked, this dynamic that I have where like, I'm not going to be the first person to bring it up. But like, if someone brings it up, like, I'm not going to like back away and run away from the conversation and like deflect, like I'll talk about it. Like,
has it gotten more, do you find that as you've gotten older, your association with DW has become like something people find out more and more about? Are people more excited now than maybe they were when you were closer to it?
100%, because when I was doing it, guys were like, you're playing a girl, versus like now, like my friends who like understand the concept of money now and like things like that, like understand that it's like, all right, like who cares, like played a girl, like made some money, like got to do something like that no one else can ever say they do. And like honestly, it is the best, like any interview, like anything, like how many times have you been in an interview and they're just like, all right, like we've heard the same answer over and over and over again, like tell us something that like no one else can do. And then you can tell them that you played an iconic character in like one of the most famous shows of all time.
Yeah.
And so to me, like that alone is like worth it.
I asked him if he feels like there are any downsides to when people find out about his past as DW.
Well, I think like going back to what you said, like being part of this like big show, it's like pretty funny because like at school it'll be like one person and like a big group of friends will like find out. So like there's like one, like let's say like one girl will find out, right? And then they tell everyone, and then it's like, oh my god, like anytime like I'm in a bar, like I'll like go up to people, like someone will come up to me and they'll be like, oh my god, like you're the kid who like played DW, like, and I'm just like yeah, and they're like, oh my god, like can we take a picture? And I'm like yeah, like sure, like, and then like it's always like, oh my god, like I want to get your autograph, like it's funny. Like I said before, I'm never gonna back down and like and be like not proud of what I did. Like I made the active choice to do it when I was a kid, like I'm gonna be proud of it and I'm gonna like own up to it. But it like can get frustrating because like I'll be like at a bar with my friends, let's just say, and like someone will just like someone like who like I don't necessarily like care to talk to will like
do that,
tap me and like annoy me, and like, and I'm not trying to say that I'm just like this like some famous like person and like this doesn't happen, but I'm saying like within my bubble, like especially like at school when there's like new freshmen coming in every year, like one person finds out and then like everyone kind of like through the grapevine is finding out. And so then anytime I interact with a person for the first time, it's like, oh my God, you're this person. So it's like, I have this like predisposed like personality.
And I find that frustration very relatable. I've been wondering if the attention I received for playing DW stunted my emotional growth. I think people assumed things about me and knew me as the kid who played DW, which sort of got in the way of me having the freedom to explore who I am and what I want out of life. It sounds like, on some level, it was similar for Jake because of his experience as an actor.
Well, I had a very brief stint as DW, so I mean, I can't say that I was like too emotionally attached, but like that was like my peak. It's been like I was in seventh grade. I was going to school one day a week, like literally, like I was filming four or five shows at the same time, like all cartoon, and like it was honestly, it was like a ton of fun, but like. For, like same kind of mindset as you. It was just like, I was that kid that was like leaving school to go film the show that everyone goes home and watches.
Which is another thing we have in common, because I've always wondered, did I peak playing DW? Will I ever accomplish anything else that's more meaningful? So I thought more about how Jake usually isn't the first person to bring up that he was the voice of DW. He usually waits for people to ask him about it.
I don't mind talking about it if it like comes up naturally in conversation, but I hate when I never project it onto people. I let people bring it up to me versus like bringing, you know what I mean? Like dropping it as like, oh, you have a little kid. Do they watch, you know what I mean?
Why do you sort of take that stance or have that as sort of the way that you engage with people? Is there a reason why you don't tell people?
Not to say that I'm like remotely successful or like famous at all, but like I don't want to come off like showy, like narcissistic.
So in your mind, have you sort of, because in 2017, that's the last listed credit on your IMDb. Yeah. From that, did you make an active decision to stop acting?
It's less about like actively making the decision. It's just like I don't see it as like a viable, like long-term thing. Like at least I don't think. That's something that I could see myself doing. So to me, it's kind of just like, I want to have that, like, I guess, normal experience.
It sounds like you've sort of made peace with the idea of sort of being done voice acting or done sort of pursuing more roles. But I'm wondering if,
PBS yeah. Kids tried to do a revival with like how like HBO just did with Friends, and they wanted me to come like, just like, do this, but in like a screen setting, like I'm not gonna say no.
I mean, hopefully I can do that. Did acting and stuff and now sort of not doing that sort of affect your relationship with happiness or finding purpose? Did you ever struggle with those ideas?
I don't think so. I'm thankful that I've never had those problems, but like at the same time, like while I was doing it, it was something that made me really happy. And like mm-hmm. when people would like come up to me and talk to me about it, and like even though like I said earlier in the interview, like I don't like when like someone like comes up to me at a bar and like does that, but like at the same time, like that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Like to like be approached in a bar and been like, oh my god, like you're so and so, like you don't know this person, like they know nothing, you know nothing about them, but they know everything about you. And to me, that's really, really cool.
So what do you see yourself doing in the future?
I think that's like kind of like the nice thing about like what, like where I am in life. Like I'm still very young. Like I'm still 19 years old. Like I honestly don't know.
Did playing DW specifically change you?
For sure. Like 100% it did. Having this like almost like bigger than life role. Like, obviously, like, that sounds, like, super cocky and, like, whatever, that I'm, like, talking about a show that I was in as bigger than life. But, like, every single person knows that show. Like, to this day, they're not making episodes. It's on four times a day. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It is constantly being memed and brought up in social media, like, and, like, things like that. And, like I said, like, it's given me this kind of, like, thicker skin, because, like, there was a span of time where, like, I wasn't necessarily not proud to be DW, but like people didn't view it in like a holistic way. And like kind of people saw it as like this, like, oh, like you're weird, like you're playing a girl thing. And I think that gave me thicker skin and has made me like a way better person to this day. And I think it is something that I'll carry with me for the rest of my life.
Returning to Bruce, I am trying to just come to terms with how DW is, you know, fits into my identity. And having played, you know, David Reed and Binky and now Bailey, do you ever have an existential crisis about what that means and how that's affected your life?
I think going back to a question or something you alluded to earlier about being, you know, older when I started and having the luxury of starting at the beginning and going all the way through to the end, I kind of had an identity as an actor, at least in my brain. I mean, at least when I started this, I had done feature films and I had done TV and I had trained as an actor at the National Theater School, blah, blah, blah. So I kind of had an idea of myself as an actor prior to this. So I have that advantage over perhaps you and your youth in starting on the show, and that I kind of had an identity. But again, who knows, right? Like, yeah, maybe hopefully in like 50 years when, you know, 105-year-old Canadian actor dies, voice of Binky, I don't know, that might be my epitaph, who knows?
Would you be okay with that?
Right now, no. No, because I would like, because I'm still at a point in my life where I'm still ambitious, and I would still envision there being things in my acting future that would eclipse Arthur. No offense to Arthur or no offense to Binky, but if push came to shove and that was it, and, you know, let's be fair, we're talking, I'm 105, I get another 50 years here. Yeah, I'd be all right with it.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And it's really cool to hear that from you, who spent a lot more time with the show and with those characters than I have, that's something you still think about. That, no offense to that show, but that there can still be, for yourself, more that you can bring to the table that would satisfy your own desire to, you know, to work and be creative. Because that's sort of, I'm not at the end of my road with this thing, but that's sort of where I'm at now. You know, I've sort of come to terms with, yes, this was this big thing I did in my life, and maybe it will be the biggest thing I do. But now I've really made peace with the idea that, you know, let me finish my life first. And then at the end, I'll look back and worry about, was that the biggest thing, and whatever. I asked him if he's ever met Mark Brown, the creator of Arthur.
I met him a couple of years ago for the very first time. And it was super emotional. He meets me and he hears me speak. And it's only when he hears me speak, right? Because I mean, this white-haired old guy, right? So he hears me speak and he hears Binky. Well, Binky's based on a person in Mark Brown's life. Mark Brown taught elementary school and Binky's a real kid. He got really emotional and it was pre-pandemic, thank God. And we had a big hug. And he's all teared up and I'm all teared up. And it was really cool because I had gotten to embody this character that actually lived and walked in Mark's life, right? And occupies a space in his brain. It was super powerful.
I can't even imagine what he must feel like looking at the show and its impact now.
Totally. And I think that's why that moment was so powerful. It was because, you know, by extension, my voice is indelible to the image and idea of Binky, and so too are Mark's words, right? So for us both to have known of one another in that kind of like super symbiotic kind of intimate way through the work, to finally meet face to face, person to person, was overwhelming, but in a really good way, you know?
To think that how much good has come from one person's creativity as someone who's still figuring out, you know, what my place is in media, and, you know, I have big dreams of making it, and to see what's possible if you're good and creative, I think is really special.
Totally. Yeah.
I'm so glad I had the opportunity to connect with Bruce. It was fascinating to compare my experience playing DW from 2002 to 2006 with his experience on Arthur for the entire run of the series. It was also really enlightening to speak with him about my feeling that maybe having played DW stunted my emotional growth. I was so grateful for how generous he was to cast himself back to when the show began in the 90s, when he was about the same age I am now. I think he's right that since he had established an identity for himself as an actor, he doesn't feel like the roles he's played on Arthur have eclipsed his entire life. I wonder what it would feel like to be cast on a show with a legacy like Arthur's now that I'm a grown-up. Anyway, It was really special that, despite our different experiences, Bruce also feels like he wants to do more as an actor, that he hopes to find work and roles that challenge him beyond Binky or Arthur's father. When he expressed that hope, while also acknowledging his gratitude for how great Arthur is, I felt so relieved, because I felt validated in my pursuit to find purpose, meaning, and an identity beyond having played the voice of DW. I wouldn't be in the place I am now without having spoken to the guy who played Arthur and DW's father. So thank you, Bruce. I spoke to Jake at the exact right point in this journey. I feel like I'm getting closer to understanding how playing DW changed me. And talking to Jake really helped drive what I've learned home. Jake showed me that it's okay to admit that playing DW really inflated my ego and made me feel special. He also shared that he too experienced bullying for playing the voice of a girl, but for him, there's a much firmer and more confident stance to take in those situations. Jake's perspective taught me to further appreciate just how cool it is that I got to do something that only 7 other people have done, and not to shy away from that fact when people ask me about it. It might not seem like much, but I really have been thinking about Jake's confidence since we spoke. Now, I'm even more ready than I've ever been to dive deeper into how playing DW fits into my identity. After speaking with Jake, I'm continuing on this journey more determined than ever. Thank you for inspiring me, Jake. And that's that. Jake was the 5th person to play DW, which means we're getting pretty close to the end of the mission I set out to complete. I think I've got a handle on how to track down the last 3 guys who played DW, but if this process has taught me anything, it's that there's a lot more to this story than I thought. So I hope you'll stick with me, because there's so much more coming up, including a potential mysterious voice actor that even surprised me. But I'll tell you about that another time. Thanks for listening. This podcast was made possible in part from contributions through Patreon from listeners like you. Thank you, Blendy, Quinton Reviews, Sam Brodaddy, and Alex. Next time on Finding DW.
My name is Christian DeStefano, and I was the 7th person to play DW. I had the part from seasons 20 to 21, from 2016 to 2017. This is actually my home studio. In lockdown, I use it a bit for voiceover, a few gigs here and there, but I actually mainly use it for my music.